Game On on 2FM with Green Fern. Naturally good food packed with protein.
Thanks to the superstar Jenny Green. Jenny, don't worry about the horror movies. Rory O'Connell has given you the ultimate nightmare recommendation. Stay away from the anchovies. Jenny's back tomorrow at 3. It's Wednesday, the 14th of October, and this is Game On.
And we're getting straight into the action today as the Republic of Ireland's UEFA Nations League game against Finland kicked off at 5 p.m. in Helsinki. Alan Cawley is with us in studio. Stephen Elliott is on the phone. But first, let's cross to John Kenny, who has eyes on the game for us. John.
Yeah, no goals at the break. Just into the second half here. Best chance to the Republic of Ireland on 13 minutes as Aaron Connolly cut in from the left-hand side. He found Daryl Horgan on the 6-yard box with his back to goal, and he was forced to lay it off to Jeff Hendrick, whose shot was blocked. A really great opportunity that. Hendrick should perhaps have opened up his body, but he just hit it first time and it was clear. But at the other end, Norwich's Teemu Pukki has twice caused real problems for the Irish defence. One effort across Darren Randolph's goal just missed the far post. The second hit the side netting with Darren Randolph beaten. But so far, not a bad display from the Republic of Ireland, whose team started with Darren Randolph in goal, the back four of Doherty, Duffy, Dara O'Shea, the 21-year-old from West Brom, the Dubliner, wearing number 15, making his debut tonight, and Enda Stevens. Same midfield from the Welsh match with Malumphy alongside Harahan and Jeff Hendrick, and supplying the width, Connolly and Daryl Horgan, and up front it is Sean Maguire. There's been one substitution at halftime. That's gone to the Finns. Niskanen has come on for Sorry, and we've got 2 minutes gone in the second half, and it remains 0-0 in Helsinki. And that strange noise you're hearing in the background is there's a crowd in, 8,000 in a stadium that holds 40,600.
Thanks to you, John Kenny. Alan Cawley, let's focus on the positive. We will just park the fact that we don't have a goal yet and it's past half time. But look, we're in a situation now where we are looking to the future as well. Mm. And there are a lot of young players out there tonight, and there are a lot of young players playing well. Let's start with Dara O'Shea on his debut.
Yeah, he's been really good, Marie. And I suppose this is probably a result of obviously a lot of the dropouts, and also with Stephen Kenny with the era coming from obviously managing the under-21s. And we're all hopeful of the pool of talent that's at the under-21s that they will progress on into the senior team, and we're seeing that tonight, as you say, with Dara O'Shea playing centre half, Jason Malumbi is one of the three in midfield, and Aaron Connolly playing wide on the left, and they've all been very good so far, particularly O'Shea. He emerged last year with West Brom under Slaven Bilic, did a really good job in getting promoted with them, and Slaven Bilic has picked him in all the games so far in the Premier League as well, so he's a big fan, and he doesn't look out of place at all tonight, Marie. In that first 45 minutes he was very good, very composed, very accomplished, what we've kind of come to expect really with him at West Brom. He's translated that into his international debut tonight, and he's done very well. And overall the game, it's been very positive, very similar to what we've seen actually under Stephen in the previous four games. Lots of glimpses of good play, a lot of possession, but the only thing that's lacking, as has been lacking in the other three or four games as well, is that elusive goal. When we get to that final third, we're just lacking that maybe bit of composure in front of goal, the clinical cutting edge in front of goal. Jeff Hendrick was the one tonight, had a good chance in the first half, hit it straight at the keeper. I felt he should have done better. Bar that, Connolly has had a couple of pot shots from outside the box, but he's looked very lively. He looks like the main threat. Daryl Horgan has actually played really well too, and Daryl again has, as a result of all the dropouts that we've had, Daryl got his opportunity at the weekend, played well when he came on against Wales. Stephen has started him tonight and he's done very well in that first 45 minutes also. So overall, again, it's been very positive, but hopefully that in that second half we can just make the breakthrough and get a goal.
Well, Stephen Elliott also joins us on the line. Stephen, Alan was saying that, look, overall so far, we've got off to a positive start in the first half, but that goal still eludes us. There has been a few pot shots, but look, there's only really been one attempt on target, and that's something that they're going to have to rectify, because I don't think we can go through another game with just one goal.
No, I agree. I listened to Alan there speak, and I think it's definitely been positive going forward. The three little lads up front, they've had to play into their feet and they've looked lively and they've linked up well at times. And I think it's sometimes in football when you're waiting on that fourth goal, like it feels like it's been an age since we've scored a goal. And I don't know, I just think once we get one, I think we might see a few tonight. It's definitely coming. I agree with Alan there. I think Jeff Hendrick should have done a little bit better with his chance. He had a lot of time to think about it and to kind of pick his spot a little bit better than he did. But it's positive positive stuff. There's good football being played. You can definitely see what Stephen Kenny is trying to do, and the fact that there's different bodies in there and they're still trying to play the same way that the other bodies who played in the previous games are bodes well, because there's obviously a bit of a pattern developing. But on the other side, I do think we need to be careful at the back, because Finland have looked a little bit dangerous themselves in and around the edge of the box with some good combination play. Pukki in particular probably could have done better with a couple of half chances. But no, it's been a good positive game, quite an open game end to end, and as I said, it's enjoyable to watch, and hopefully it'll continue second half.
Jeff Hendrick, Alan, he seems to be dividing opinion. A lot of people think that he totally justifies his selection, but there is a few people as well who aren't so sure that he's up to the job.
Yeah, and I'm one of them, Marie. And it's not so much whether he's up to the job. I have a little bit of sympathy for him in the sense that, unfortunately for him, over the last three or four managers, they've all chosen to play him in different positions, and he's suffered as a result of it. Obviously, he's played wide right at club level. He comes into us, he's either one of the three midfielders, playing as one of the deep line midfielders. We've seen him in all sorts of positions. Stephen has chosen him the last two or three games to play him as that advanced kind of number 10 role ahead of the two of Horahan and Malumbi, and I just don't think it suits him at all. He's receiving the ball with his back to goal. I'm not so sure how good his awareness is in terms of, as I say, receiving the ball. It's different for him to, if you're playing deeper and you're coming on to the play. When we seen the brilliant Jeff Hendrick in the Euros in 2016, and everybody thought he was going to go on and have a stellar career, he was playing as one of those attacking number eights, and he played really, really well. It hasn't happened for him since that. He's nearly 60 caps now, Marie, and two goals. Like, if you're judging an attacking midfielder with two goals out of 60 games, it doesn't really reflect well, and I just don't think the position suits him. And again, we've seen it tonight. On the other side of that, his energy and all that kind of stuff, and he's very good in terms of pressing and getting after people, and obviously Stephen wants to play that game, but I would just want a lot more in possession now when he receives it, and I just don't think he gives you enough in that position.
Stephen, I think the midfield is something that we're still struggling a little bit, trying to find that balance, and I know I spoke to you about it before the Slovakia game. Do you think he's any closer? Look, obviously everything has been completely turned on its head because of COVID and selection, but look, you have Malumbi there doing really well, but just trying to get it right has been difficult.
Yeah, it's as I said, with the COVID players pulling out and what have you, it's difficult for Stephen Kenny to walk and stuff and train and with the bodies he wants to start with. But going back to Jeff Hendrick, I agree with Alan. You're just waiting for him to do that a little bit more. Sometimes you're watching him playing, and he plays every game for Ireland. I actually think he's done okay in Stephen Kenny's first few games. His energy levels have been good. He looks hungry to get on the ball, but you're just wanting that a little bit more, because we've seen it in the past where maybe not as much in an Ireland jersey, that he can get in the box and score goals, and we're looking for goals from all around the pitch, because we haven't really got a striker that's scoring regularly now, and you've got to look to the rest of your team and squad to get these goals. And somebody like Jeff Hendrick, like Alan mentioned there, two goals in that amount of caps isn't probably good enough as an attacking midfielder, so you'd be looking for him to try and get on the score sheet a little bit more going forward. But with the way Stephen Kenny set up the play, maybe you will get some more chances like we've seen there on the edge of the box, and maybe next time he might just slot her away.
Okay, well, let's cross back to John Kenny. John.
Yeah, it's the first substitute of the game for the Republic of Ireland. They've taken off Sean Maguire and they've brought on Robbie Brady. So that's the first substitution they've had in the second half. Nothing really to shout about in the second half. Both sides playing a pretty similar pattern of game to what we saw in the first half, and we haven't had any real chances in the second period. But that one change, it's Robbie Brady on for Sean Maguire, remains at 0-0. 52 minutes gone.
Alan, the change?
Just on that one, Marie, as Stephen was saying, like, everybody is looking at the moment in terms of a centre forward and who's going to get us the goals, and obviously that's the question that everybody is asking. And David McGoldrick, of course, is that centre forward that Stephen will play, but of course, as we all know, at club level and international level, he's not clinical. He won't get you the goals, but he does an awful lot of great work coming off in the way Stephen wants to play, in terms of building up the play, linking up with the midfielders, holding it up, bringing people into play. He's excellent at that, as we saw in the Slovakia game. But I think more of a question should be posed on all the other players around the centre forward as well, that everybody has to chip in with the goals. And that's the point, as we're saying about Hendrick. If he's playing as one of the attacking midfielders, you see it now all over levels of football, you're judged on your numbers, and attacking midfielders have to chip in with goals. Conor Horahan, I know he's new to the international scene, I think he has only 20 caps, but his goal came from a free kick against Georgia in the campaign last year. Now, to be fair to him, he's back playing as one of the defensive, the two sitting, and he's getting on, and I think Conor Horan has played really well in the game so far. But I just think, rather than ask the question and pin it all on a centre forward, I think more players from all around the team have to chip in. And as Stephen also mentioned, and he's right, now with the way that we're going to play, hopefully under Stephen, and what we've seen, chances will be created, a lot more chances than maybe what we've seen in previous regimes.
Stephen, just on that point, you know, with everyone pitching in, now we're kind of clear on Stephen Kenny's style and the way he wants to play, and we've blooded an awful lot of players maybe with due to COVID and stuff like that, but do you think there's an opportunity with the style we're playing for what Alan's saying there, more fillets to step up and create chances from further back?
Yeah, well, I think that's partly why Stephen, that's part of Stephen's philosophy, even at his time as Dundalk, when he was doing really well with Dundalk, players from all over the pitch were scoring from Dundalk in the game. So there wasn't like, I know they had McMillan there who scored a lot of goals, but there was goals coming from all over, the likes of McElhenney and other Duffy and other players there that chipped in. But yeah, you look at the team there out on the pitch just watching the game here now, you've got Connolly, Robbie Brady, Jeff Henrick, you got Daryl Hogan who's got a goal in him. Like, there's players on the pitch who definitely know how to score a goal, and he's pushed Connolly into the central area, and I'm actually looking forward to see how he gets on now in the last 30-35 minutes of this game in a central position, because I think he's somebody that could offer a different little threat in there as a central striker, because he does want to get in behind rather than the likes of say McGoldrick when he plays up there, who does like to come short. So that's something maybe Stephen's looked at, and he's made this change early in the second half when he thinks there's a way in, utilising Connolly's pace in behind the defence.
And I'd say there's a few lads out there you've played with as well.
And I think, isn't it, everybody saying about it's an all-Irish 11 starting as well, which is brilliant. I know there's a bit of a contrast with the 21s team that played yesterday. I think a lot of those lads are English and some of them have been reared in England. But it's brilliant to see, as I mentioned, especially the young lads. And that's a feature, I think, of what we're going to see with Stephen Kenny, because the relationship he's built up with a lot of those lads at an under-21 level, you would like to think. And that is the natural progression. That's something we haven't seen, again, in previous regimes, Marie. You probably go back to even Stephen's time progressing through, it probably goes back that far since we've last had lads playing under 21 and going on into the senior team. So obviously there's three playing there tonight, you'll see a lot more in the future as well, and that certainly bodes well going forward also. And I think Dunica mentioned about the amount of players that we've used already, we've used an awful lot, and it just goes to show the level or the amount of players that we do have. I see John jumping up outside. There must have been a chance or something. I've me back to the telly here, but we just can't get that elusive goal, Marie. That's the unfortunate thing.
Well, let's cross back to John Kenny to find out who had that chance. John,
we had chances at either ends. Glenn Kamara a couple of moments ago with a shot from the edge of the area, it was causing real panic inside in the Irish area before it was eventually cleared, but the ball broke really nicely for Aaron Connolly, now out on the right hand side, cut past the defender, got his shot away, but Lucas Horatsky in the home goal saved easily enough. 57 minutes on the clock and Helsinki remains 0-0.
I don't think there's any getting away from it though, Alan. Like we say it all the time, international football is results-based business. I know that we've had a pandemic and it's been really difficult for Stephen Kenny, everything he had to deal with, but there are critics out there, there are people saying that it's not good enough what we're getting, because we're not winning matches. I don't think you can blame him for us not qualifying for the Euros, but you know, games like this one against Finland, potentially against Wales, like you need to be scoring goals and winning some of them.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is a results oriented business, we all know that, Marie, but I think the critics need to just relax themselves for a moment, because
have patience is what you're saying.
There has to be patience involved here, Marie, in terms of what we're trying to do. Like Stephen, to be fair to him, you're trying to change a whole culture, and we've seen it in previous times. If people can only think back of the last regime, the one before that, of how bad some of the football was that we watched, you're coming out of the Aviva Stadium so frustrated, thinking the players should be doing better, thinking them should be playing a lot better, and what we were watching. So people need to remember that, and it has to be given time. I know what you're saying in terms of the results. He has been very unlucky, very unfortunate with all the pullouts. Slovakia was the big game last week, and obviously, again, as you say, we came up short even though the performance was really good. But for me, if there's going to be some short-term pain for long-term gain, I have no problem with that whatsoever, Marie, because he has to be given time and given a chance to implement what he wants to do. And we've already seen plenty and plenty of glimpses of exactly what it'll be like. If this is only four games into his tenure and we've seen the improvements already, imagine what it would be like if we're 10, 20 games into it.
What I worry though, Stephen, is that what will happen is we'll come around to the Euros and we'll be having a Euros here in Dublin, all going to plan, COVID depending, and Ireland still won't be winning matches and we won't be in the Euros, and then the opinion will change very, very quickly. I just don't know how much patience people are going to have.
Yeah, listen, I hear what Alan's saying about giving him time, and I think he will be given time, Stephen, and I think this whole COVID situation will probably even add to that time he's been given at the start regarding getting criticised. But ultimately, yeah, he needs to win games. You need to win some games sometimes. It's all fine playing good football, which we have seen a little different style, but we need to start getting results. But I do think them results will come. I think that as well, getting all these young lads in the squad together, like these lads are all coming into the squad at the same time. So sometimes I remember when I was in the international squad, sometimes you come in as a young lad and you feel like you're a little bit of an outsider. So not that the lads weren't good with you, but it takes you a few kind of squads where you feel like you're really kind of, you're part of the squad, whereas all these lads are coming in together and they know each other, they know each other's personality. So that won't be an issue for these lads, and that helps on the pitch as well. So hopefully we'll see the benefits of all these young boys in and around the senior setup, kind of on the football pitch as well as off the park.
And on that as well, Marie, like Stephen, out of everybody that I know, and in terms of people we talk about the game or watch, he wants to win more than anybody. So it's all right us saying here about possession football and not winning and winning and results and not results. Out of everybody, he wants to win more than anybody. So if you think he's happy with three or four games where, oh, we've played okay but we haven't won, he'll be devastated more than anybody, and particularly with the game last week. So of course, he'll understand that too. So you can't be judging him, and I wouldn't be. And to be fair, I don't think people are after four or five games.
How many? When can we start judging?
15.
Okay.
Ask me again in 10-12 matches. No, but you do need results. Absolutely, I get that totally. But because of what we're trying to change here and what he's trying to implement, he has to be given that time.
Stephen, we mentioned the young lads there. These are the perfect type of games, though. Like Finland, they could go top of the group tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's a big game. Every international game is really big. Like, as Stephen Kenny, he's a passionate man. He's a passionate Irish man. I think it means a lot to him every time he kind of leads that team out. And I think it's the same for these young lads playing. Listen, playing for your country, there's nothing better. And even when you see them playing there, there's a buzz about them on the pitch. And I do think it's only a matter of time before we go and put a team right to the sword. Like, because we've got too much energy. Like I'm watching the game here now. Even though we're not winning the game and Finland are picking up chances, you still feel like something's going to happen. There's a chance here, and it is a little bit different. So again, you have to have a little bit of patience and trust in what the manager's trying to do and his team. And I think there is. I haven't seen much criticism now, to be honest. Which I think he will be given time, especially from the so-called experts in the game, because I think they understand what he's going in to try and do. And it's a tough job managing your country, especially a country like ours where we haven't been great in recent times. So he's going to go in there, and I think we can start judging him properly. I heard Marie ask, when can we start judging? I think once the World Cup qualifiers come round, I think when I know these games mean a little bit, but I think the next few games come round when the qualifiers, when it really matters, where you can say Stephen's had like a good few games, a handful of games, everybody know what it's about. And then the style, it's not like this new style then, it's a style that's being developed and people have been watching for a number of games, and then we need to start looking at the results. But again, I'm still fairly positive looking at this, and even watching this game here now, I'm happy enough with what I'm seeing.
And Stephen's made a good point yesterday. He said they need to start scoring when they're on top, and there are periods, like long periods as well, when they are on top, and he said when that happens they'll relax into it. So I can imagine, okay, everybody is talking about them not scoring goals, like there's pressure on them too, and it's hard when it all compounds.
Yeah, because what happens then, Marie, it almost becomes, you feel when you do get the chance, people will be snatching at it because you're almost desperate to score, as you say. It just takes someone with that bit of composure when the chance comes and takes it, as you say, and then they all might flow. Hopefully that'll be the case. But I wouldn't be. I'd be more concerned if we weren't creating the chances. Then I'd have a major concern. And if you go back to, again, the previous managers, and the narrative around the team was, oh, the only person who's dangerous for us is Duffy from a set piece. That's not the case now. That hasn't even been mentioned in these four or five games. People have been talking. You go back to the Slovakia game last week, the amount of chances we had. Shane Long had a great chance against Wales on Sunday. Again tonight, there's a couple of chances. Hendrick in the first half. So I would be majorly concerned, Marie, if we weren't creating the chances. The fact that we are, then it comes down to the individual and who can take it. And we are maybe lacking that out and out centre forward. Again, Connolly going through the middle tonight, I like that, because I look at him at Brighton and I think if he plays alongside McGoldrick in the team or up alongside him, I think he'll be a really good foil for McGoldrick. If McGoldrick is the one dropping in and linking the play, you have to tread in behind with Connolly and what we see with Brighton and the partnership that he has with Maupay. So there's lots of positives. And I know people might say, oh, you're building it up, but we're drawing nil all here with Finland. it'll take time. It will take time. So,
well, certainly since we last spoke to John Kenny, there seems like there has been a few chances. Let's check in with him. John.
Closest to a goal has come from Republic of Ireland seconds ago. Enda Stevens up with the play, found himself inside in the area. The ball was played forward to him by Jeff Hendrick. Hendrick just laid a little ball off to him as Doherty has a shot in, but it just goes to the right hand side and wide. But the ball laid into Enda Stevens from Jeff Hendrick. He just tried to place it with the outside of the boot, and the ball, sadly from the Republic's point of view, bounced away off the angle. A couple of moments before that, best chance of the second half to the Finns as Pukki, who missed a couple of chances in the first half, set up Niskanen, the second half substitute. His shot was driven at goal, thankfully from an Irish point of view, hit a defender and went out for a corner. Things are starting to liven up now. 65 minutes on the clock, but it remains 0-0, but Stevens has hit the bar.
Even on that one, Marie, you look at Matt Doherty there again, and it just goes to show the intent, the amount of bodies that were getting forward. Enda Stevens is linking up down the left with Horgan. The ball comes across the box. Horahan, who's one of the defensive midfielders, is up on the edge of the box, laying it off to the right full, getting himself involved in the game. Doherty on the edge of the box with a brilliant chance. So there's so much more intent in the approach as well, that it's not, they're desperate to win the game, the lads as well.
Okay,
but
well,
it goes back to the chance there, Stevens. You're looking at it, you think, just hit it with your right foot. It's like it looks kind of, he's gone for it with his wrong foot, and it's, you're looking for a chance, that bit of composure again. And is it going to be another case was talking about? Well, we had that chance, we have that chance. And like Alan mentioned, that it'll start annoying Stephen Kenny, because he'll have them out walking on their finishing now when they next meet up, if they continue to kind of not put these chances away, because that's part of football too. We can have all this nice football, but putting the ball in the net is a big part of it. And that's why Robbie Keane was so important over all these years, because he is somebody that done on such a regular basis, and he did get us out of jail quite a bit over the years.
Okay, well, Stephen and Alan, stay with us. There are 25 minutes left. Hopefully we can change the narrative, but we're going to take a quick break for now, and we'll be back talking Gaelic football with Jason Sherlock.
Game on 2FM with Green Farm. Naturally good food packed with protein.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back to Game On. Well, the narrative has changed in Helsinki, but not the way we wanted it to, John Kenny.
Yeah, Finland have scored, and disaster for Ireland. Darren Randolph with a very poor pass out to Matt Doherty, who wasn't expecting it on the edge of the area. In fact, he is back to the ball, and in nipped Teemu Pukki of Norwich, who's caused one or two problems in the first half in particular for the Irish back four. He intercepted that, got to the edge of the area on the left-hand side, played it across, and it fell nicely for Augsburg's Freddy Jensen. And in the 66th minute, he drove it to the back of the net from only 6 yards out. So Finland have struck the front. 69 minutes almost gone on the clock in Helsinki. It's Finland 1, Republic of Ireland 0.
Alan, I think we must have put the curse on it. We were looking for a goal.
You did. You've absolutely cursed them. No, I feel really sorry for them, because they've been the ones doing all the pushing in the second half, but there is risk attached to the way Stephen wants to play. And if you're sloppy in possession, Marie, playing out from the back, it only takes one interception on the edge of the box, like we saw. A sloppy pass from Randolph to Doherty. Pukki intercepted it, squares it across the box, and now unfortunately we're chasing the game. And it's really unfortunate, because they have played well in the first half. In the second half again, they've been the ones in the ascendancy, trying to create the chances, and they're chasing the game now. But yeah, it's just such a sloppy goal.
You can't even say they need to go for it now, because they were going for it.
No, they were going for it. And that's what we've seen again in the old regime. We'd always be reactive and wait to go a goal down, and then you'd see the urgency. We've seen that throughout. You just don't want to go a goal down now, unfortunately. And as you said, maybe the narrative will change with people, but you have to. We've been saying it all along. You can't just change your tune now because they're going to go down.
Okay, well, I have to say, I'm enjoying the competitive sport with fans, but that won't be the case when the Gaelic Games return this weekend, because there will be no fans there. Former Dublin selector and former Dublin footballer Jason Sherlock joins us now. Jason, it's going to be different.
Yeah, well, I suppose having games to look forward to is great. I think from a Dublin perspective, you have a minor match, an under-20 match, and a senior match this weekend. So I think we're grateful, obviously, once it's done in a safe way, we're grateful to have something to look forward to. And hopefully, when it comes to the senior games, that we will get these league games and a championship to look forward to, because I think the people need it. I think, as we know, we're immersed in sport in this world, and and our time and our conversations have been taken up so much with what's going on. So as long as things are done in a safe environment, it would be great to have a GAA championship to look forward to.
Jason, we know that trying to prepare a team for any game, an inter-county team, is all-consuming because, you know, you've just got so much to do. You're trying to work around players and what they're doing in their professional lives, and you're just trying to get everything together, and you've big backroom teams. And now you're throwing in all the processes that are going to come with COVID. I'd say for anyone involved in a team now, it's, I don't know where they're going to find the time, really.
Yeah, you'd have to have every sympathy with those guys because, again, it is a challenge enough trying to get logistics right on any given day. But then when you throw this additional layer in, and you'd have to have sympathy with some of the managers who've spoken about the challenges with some of us of players having COVID. And I'm sure that's something that it is going to be a movable feast. We don't know what's around the corner. But yeah, I think as much as obviously health and safety is a priority, I'd have give every credit to any Gaelic footballer or hurler that does give the time and commitment this year, because it obviously has been such a challenging time for them.
Jason, we're awaiting news from the CCCC about Fermanagh, who have requested a forfeit for their game against Clare, and also Longford are hoping to move their game out of Derry. In those situations, what do you think should be done?
It's very hard to know, Marie, and I think in times like these you have to trust leadership and the governance of associations, of national government. And the first and foremost, safety has to be the priority. I think then in terms of the competitions, it's a fair argument to say, are we there to fulfil matches, or do we want to allow teams the opportunity to prepare as well as they can? And I think that's where the trickiness comes in, because obviously we know the timelines are very tight, and I suppose that is the challenge with that. So again, it's so hard to be definitive on what's the right and wrong thing to do here, because things have fluctuated so much. I think as a sports fan, as I mentioned, no different than you guys, and I'm here watching the soccer game, we just want to have something to divert our attention. So we would be hoping that sport will continue in some capacity.
Joe, just in your role there, just fulfilling the games, is it worthwhile if you're not putting out your best and sure, the squad or the guys you're thinking about? It is great to give younger guys opportunity, but we know it. You need to be surrounded by a bit of class as well. So it could actually damage those young players.
I suppose it's what you would define as outcome or success if that was the occasion, if that was the situation. If teams are kind of weaker, I'm sure managers will have built in then that maybe if that is the case, that they'll have to kind of, I suppose, lower their expectations out. I think for young players, if you're talking about young players, I think experience is good. I know I got a few trimmings in my day. I've no doubt that you did too, unfortunately. But the one thing about that is you dust yourself down and you learn from it. So I think, again, I think it's a hard, it's a challenging conversation, because, yeah, I understand in terms of preparation you want to give teams time, but at the same time we're in a unique situation, so I suppose we just have to try and do what's best for everyone in that situation.
There's a lot of responsibility as well on players now, Jason, I'd imagine. Just, you know, if anybody does feel unwell, to try and balance that responsibility to tell someone, also with the personal drive that would make people want to play.
Yeah, and that's what I mentioned. I think for players to kind of give the commitment and sacrifice to inter-county hurling or football this year, it's to their credit, because again, I don't know, I would struggle to kind of keep my focus on that preparation piece, because obviously you can't go very far to hear any conversations about what's going on. And again, they have a duty of care not only to themselves but their family and their community. So yeah, it must be a very challenging time. I think that's why, if there are games, I think as supporters we'll really appreciate them, because we know what's gone in for those guys to give the commitment, and I suppose we'd be very sympathetic in terms of whatever performances that they can provide.
Just from your opinion, it's been tough for Desi Farrell coming in at this point, but has the bit of a break given him a chance to build a relationship with players? I know he hasn't got to go out with them and train with them as much as he'd like, but just building that bit of a bond.
Yeah, well, you can kind of look at it two ways. I think you could question how much of a challenge it is taking over a team like Dublin that obviously have been at the top table for the last number of years. But in some ways, maybe that enforced break has been a positive for a new management, because there's been a complete distinction between what happened in the past and what is going to happen in the future. So maybe that enforced time might have been good in that sense. But at the same time, as a new manager, I'm sure you're keen to get in and kind of get to know your players, your backroom team, and kind of try to impart your philosophies. And obviously, I'm sure Desi and the backroom team have had challenges in that regard. So I can kind of see, I can see both sides of that argument.
Jason, because we're still in the middle of the pandemic and there isn't as much sport on it as we would like, we're going to do a lot of analysing. So if you were to look at Dublin, where can Desi improve them?
It'd be hard to do analysing when you only have to look across the water in the Premiership, the fluctuation in results and performances. And again, I don't think it's any coincidence in the environment we're in. So that's first and foremost. I think secondly, the Championship format is going to be new. It's going to be run very quickly. There's going to be no safety nets. It's obviously going to be played in front of no or little crowds. So it's a whole new dynamic, not only for Dublin, but for every team. And I suppose it's seen what teams can adapt to that situation based on their preparation and then obviously into their performances.
Jason, I'm going to ask you to stay with us just for a minute, because we're going to cross over to John Kenny for a quick update on the Ireland-Finland match.
76 minutes gone in Helsinki, and it's still Finland who lead by a goal to nil. Poor ball out from the back from Darren Randolph on 66 minutes, trying to pick up Matt Doherty in nip. Teemu Pukki crossed the ball to Freddie Jensen 6 yards out, and he couldn't miss the man from Augsburg. But Ireland have hit the bar in the second half. Enda Stevens with the outside of the boot hit the angle of crossbar and post and bounced away to safety, and Aaron Connolly has pulled out a couple of decent saves, but from tight angles from Lukas Hardecki in the Finnish goal. 77 minutes gone in Helsinki in front of a crowd of 8,000. It's Finland 1, Republic of Ireland 0.
Alan?
Yeah, it's they're just chasing it now, Marie, to be fair, and he's after throwing on two substitutes. Adam Ida, as well as after coming on for Owen and Curtis, Hendrick has gone off, and Daryl Horgan can be happy with his night's work. He did really well considering he wasn't in the original squad. He may have grasped an opportunity to be back in the squad again, albeit when we see how the other players are. But just hopefully we can get the goal, Marie. Obviously they're pushing forward now. The fear with that when you're pushing forward is that we're leaving ourselves a little exposed at the back. But I think Stephen, he realises that now, we have to go for it.
It's strange, Jason, really. We're talking about this game and the build-up to this game, and it's COVID and everything that Stephen Kenny has to deal with, and all the upsets, and just the been completely in new territory with this, and that's going to be the same for so many, and Desi included. Just, I know you haven't really been there's no crossover between you and him as a manager, but how will he deal with this situation, do you think?
There has been no crossover. I can only kind of form my opinion from obviously being first and foremost, he was a hero, and then a teammate both in club and county. And I kind of know him from a non-sporting background then as well. Like, I think what's the most impressive thing about Desi, and it always has been, is his care for people around him, and he'll definitely bring that to the players of Dublin, and he has a deep care of Dublin football. So that's a good starting point, I think, in terms of his development, both from his experience in sport and non-sporting environment. I've no doubt that he will bring that with him as well. And like, no different than Stephen Kenny, like I'm sure it is going to take time for him to figure out how he can assist the players, because ultimately it will be about players performing for him, and I'm sure he'll have his ideas on how he can see improvements on the Dublin's performances from on the years gone by, because ultimately that's what it's all about. No matter whatever he's taken over, he needs to improve the performances, and I've no doubt that the players will do all they can to assist them in doing that.
We could do with a Jason Sherlock up front at this moment in time. I tell you that much, Marie.
Go ahead, Alan. I played a five side with Alan one day, and I thought I played well. I was kind of comparing myself to Luis Suarez, and after the game, Alan said I reminded him of Danny Welbeck.
Well, pictures have surfaced of you now outside a helicopter over the last few weeks heading off to a cup game, if I'm right.
Yeah, something like that. I played in a county final that morning or that afternoon with Athena, and I was playing with Shamrock Rovers that evening up in Finn Harps. It's not an easy commute from Parnell Park to Ballybuffet, so I got a chopper. But it sounds great in theory, but the reality was I underperformed significantly in both matches, so I don't think I was ever offered a chopper again, that's for sure.
At least you can never accuse me of not being honest, Danny, would you?
true.
Jason, we're seeing in all sports now that you need a big squad. It is an advantage for Dublin that they not only have a big squad, but it's of quality. Everyone there is at the level, and that's what we've seen over the last 5 years.
Yeah, and I think referring to the Irish soccer team, like in chaos brings opportunity. And again, Stephen has had an opportunity, whether by design or not, to blood a lot of new players over the last three games. No different than Dublin, as you know, with Electric Ireland, where they're supporting the minor campaign. And again, the reality is a lot of the Dublin footballers came through minor football, under 20, and into the senior ranks. So it's great to see that pipeline. It's something that's obviously very key in all sports. Dublin GAA have done really well in the last number of years. You look at Leinster Rugby and the kind of the pathway that they've provided. So it's really great to see that the rewards, I suppose, of volunteers putting in that effort with young boys and girls in clubs, then moving them into development squads, and then obviously seeing them eventually playing senior inter-county.
Okay, well, Jason, thanks so much for joining us. Just before we let you go, I'm going to get you to call it Sam Maguire. Where is it going to be this year?
Well, I'd be hoping it is. With the lockdown, we have to stay within our county, so hopefully Sam will have to respect that as well.
Go on, Welbeck.
Good answer. Thanks so much, Jason Sherlock. Jason was speaking at the launch of Electric Ireland, who are celebrating their 7th year of their landmark GA This Is Major campaign with the return of the Player of the Week initiative and the Minor Stars. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to hear from Stephen Lucy.
Game on 2FM with Green Fern, a 100% natural range of cooked chicken, turkey and beef. Natural protein your way.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back to Game On. It is heading for the closing stages in Helsinki. Let's cross to John Kenny.
Yeah, still Finland leading by a goal to nil, and it was scored in the 66th minute as the ball across the area found Freddy Jensen, and all he did was put the ball to the back of the net. He couldn't really miss, but there's been a host of substitutions in the second half. We heard about Robbie Brady coming on a little earlier on, as Alan was saying, Adam Ida and Ronan Curtis on, but also on Cabinteely's ex-Cabinteely player, now playing with Derby County, Jason Knight, the 19-year-old midfielder, has come on. He's been with Cabinteely, or was with Cabinteely, from the age of 4 before he moved across to Derby County, and he's a substitution coming on in the second half. So he's played 6 times for Stephen Kenny at under 21 level. So he certainly is bringing through the youth as well. Jason Knight from Dublin makes his debut tonight. But 85 minutes on the clock is still Finland leading by goal to nil.
Thanks, John. Now, with so much uncertainty out there regarding our safe movements and the prospect of trying to play an inter-county championship, we decided to check in with someone who is uniquely placed to give an insight on both areas. Dr. Stephen Lucy is a GP in Limerick City, and for 17 years, Lucy played football and hurling for the Treaty County. He still togs out for his club, Croom, while this year he is also acting as a team doctor for the county's football teams and minor hurlers. He spoke to RTE GAA journalist Damien Lawler about the challenges ahead for this country, the shortcomings in the health service, but also the need to play an inter-county championship.
Well, firstly, I think that we were lucky to have a club championship, and I thought it went very, very well. Everybody was delighted with it. County players were delighted to be with their clubs, and their club players were delighted to have their county players with them for, uninterrupted and not being torn between the county and the club. So we were very lucky considering where we came from earlier on in the year. Regarding the health systems, firstly, before COVID ever hit, the Irish Health Service was one of the most under-resourced services in the world. We've the lowest numbers of doctors per head of population, the lowest number or thereabouts the lowest number of ICU beds per head of population in the OECD. I think the government commissioned a report by consultancy firm Prospectus back in 2008, and they delivered a report in 2009 stating that we had 289 ICU beds at that time. Today we have 282, that's seven less. And in their report, they recommended 190 new beds be put in place by 2030. So we've less. So it just shows you where we are. That's why NPHET and the HSE are so concerned at the moment. All the key indicators for the COVID are going in the wrong direction, and they're deteriorating day by day, week by week. The number of cases, the number of hospital admissions, number of ICU admissions, number of deaths, number of clusters in settings such as nursing homes and congregating settings such as direct provision, all going in the wrong direction. And to be honest with you, in a few weeks' time, the hospitals could be overrun. Some of the ICUs in Dublin are already full. So we have to do something. And that's why these new restrictions are put in place. And why are the numbers going in the wrong direction? It's because too many people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. There's a bit of fatigue out there. There's a bit of, I don't know, frustration at it, or that we're getting back to normal. But like, ultimately, it comes down to everybody's individual efforts and actions. Everybody has to take responsibility and look in the mirror. In terms of GAA, we have to be thankful that we got to play the championship matches. But we can't have our cake and eat it. We got to get the game. We got to play the games, and some people got to go to the games. But then afterwards, especially after county finals or when a club's season was finished, people wanted to go out on the piss together to celebrate or wanted to commiserate. It's what people have done for generations after matches. But this is a global health emergency and pandemic. And there's doing the right thing and doing what you know is the wrong thing and still going ahead and doing it. And unfortunately, too many people were not doing that. I suppose the videos that were on social media lately were worrying the GAA top brass, and they took action and then they pulled the trigger. I'd say the video from Cork was the straw that broke the camel's back, and that's why they put a stop to all the matches now. And I feel sorry for those clubs that still are in their respective championships, but unfortunately that's where we are. You know, people are torn between doing the right thing and doing what they know they should do. So look, there has to be a balance there. Look, ultimately people need to just look in the mirror, because we can't sustain where we're going. We just have to turn these numbers around. We have to put a stop on this virus. You know, we have to protect our older and our vulnerable people. There's too much community transmission. Everything is going in the wrong direction. Northern Ireland is in a worse situation than us. So, like, you know, we all have to do our bit.
Well, with all that in mind, so, Stephen, should we actually run an intercounty championship at the moment? Is it the proper thing to do?
Oh, definitely we should run an intercounty championship. I think it's massively important for people's morale, people's mental health, people's sanity. You know, a lot of people around the world or in Ireland live for sport, be it GAA or soccer or rugby. I think we only realised it during the lockdown. I know myself, I missed the GAA and sports terribly. You know, it was like a piece of me was missing. You know, I found myself looking at old matches day in and day out and listening to podcasts, any podcast that was going, there's some great ones. But it's only when you lose something do you truly appreciate it. I think that goes for a lot of things as well. The longer I'm working in medicine, the more I see that by far and away our health is the most important thing that we have, health and happiness. And after that, success and money and power and all that, they're so far down the list of priorities. Like, really and truly, health and happiness are the most important things in our lives. Sport means an awful lot to people. It means an awful lot to me. And when it was lost, it only drove home how much it meant. And so I agree with what Micheál Martin said when he took over as Taoiseach. He really felt that running an intercounty championship was very, very important for the morale of the country and the morale of a lot of people. Not everybody, but obviously a lot of people aren't into the GAA. But having said that, if you think of rural areas or especially older people, you know, the GAA gives structure. It gives something to look forward to. It gives them a purpose. It's their pastime. It's what they live for. You know, think of it now. Think of people that you know in your community, or older people, aunts, uncles, or people you've known through your club. Think of the build-up of big matches during the summer. Think of when is the team going to be announced, who's going to be on the team, who's going to be playing where, with the matchups, who's going to mark their danger men, talking about tactics, the slagging that goes on between counties, friends that you've gone to college with or that you work with. Or I know Limerick and Clare, like a lot of people, Limerick people work in Clare, and the slagging and the debate that goes on before and after matches is massive. Like, if we didn't have that in the county championship, it would make for a very, very bleak and dark winter, and one that I wouldn't be looking forward to. So, you know, please God, we can all do our bit and try and make sure that we turn things around and that everybody's health is looked after, and that if we don't all do our bit, then we won't have an inter-county championship. So there's a responsibility on everyone to play their part and do the right thing.
Now, that was Damien Lawler speaking to Dr. Stephen Lucy, a GP in Limerick City, and of course a former dual player with Limerick. Now it is coming up to full time in Helsinki. Back to you, John Kenny.
Yeah, Ireland have gone close on a number of occasions to actually equalising. It's still that Jensen goal on 66 minutes that separates the sides. We're deep in injury time, 4 minutes to be added on, we're into the fourth of that. They're still leading by a goal to nil, but Lucas Hrdecky in the Finnish goal has been in great form recently. Matt Doherty's late header, he pushed it over the crossbar, while Ronan Curtis, on as a substitute, brought out a terrific one-handed save from the Finnish keeper, diving low to his right-hand side to keep it at 1-0 to Finland with just seconds remaining.
Thank you, John Kenny. Stay with us. We're going to go to Stephen Elliott. Stephen, that shot from Ronan Curtis, that header, he looked so close.
Yeah, it was a great ball by Robbie Brady, flicked cutting inside in his left foot from the right hand side, little flick on by Matt Doherty, who was got in the box more and more after the Finland goal, and that was a good header, headed it down, but again the Finland keeper's made a tremendous save, and it's not great. It's looking like it's going to be another defeat.
Yeah, well, back to you, John Kenny, because the final whistle has gone, and it is nice to see the fans, but unfortunately they're not shouting for the Republic of Ireland. No, we don't have John there, but Alan, it was good to see Ronan Curtis get that shot at the end, but you know, we're still in the same situation where we don't have a win.
No, and they pushed and pushed, to be fair to them. Matt Doherty had a good chance to flick on from the header, good save by Hrdecky, but I thought that was the one right at the end. Ronan Curtis, as Stephen said, a good ball, Brady flicked one into the box and Matt Doherty flicked it on, and Curtis, a great header, he done everything right, a brilliant save by the goalkeeper down low to his right, and it just ends really frustrating, and a frustrating week and a very disappointing week, Marie, and when you factor in everything included in terms of the pullouts and the COVID and the frustration and the fellas that are in and they're not in and they're out and they're back, oh, it's just been a really disappointing week, and Stephen just can't catch a break at the moment. I'm sure he's probably wondering or thinking to himself, what have I done to deserve this the last few days? But you have to stick by him and stick with him, just because if everybody was saying he was the right man before this 4 or 5 games, Marie, just because we've had 3 or 4 bad results, or more so bad results rather than bad performances, you can't just rip up the sheet of paper and say we're going to start all over again. We've been championing him for a long time now. He has to be given the time, he has to be given the support, the positives. We've seen a lot of the young lads come on there tonight and play well. Dar O'Shea, that'll do him no end of good going forward. Jason I came on towards the end, Adam Ida, Aaron Connolly, Malumbi, like there's 5 or 6 under 21 lads, and they'll benefit from the experience as well. So it is a disappointing night because of the result, but again the performance was quite good, and hopefully if they keep churning out these performances, they will translate into results.
Stephen, is that something that you still agree with, that we can deal with the results as long as the performances are okay, and as Alan said there, the young players bringing on Knight and Ida there at the end as well were positive, was positive to see.
Yeah, listen, he's going to be given time, Stephen. He's got to be given time. You can't start kind of because he's picked up a few results. There's been a lot of kind of obstacles in his way over the past couple of weeks. But at the same time, you have to say you need results. Like everybody will say, it's not all about the performance. You need to get the balance right between getting the result and getting the performance. And if you look at the results over since Stephen's gone in, you wouldn't say that balance is quite kind of corrected yet. But listen, everybody can see what he's trying to do with his team. Another day, them chances go in. Matt Doherty, great header at the end, flicked over the bar. Again, Ronan Curtis, when he comes on, looked lively, good header. hits the crossbar with Stephen. So these are chances that on another day could have gone in, but we can't keep saying this forever or ever, because it's going to get to a stage where Stephen Kenny himself is going to get fed up. But it's another defeat at the end of the day. That's what the record books will say. But there's definitely positives there. Like Alan mentioned, the young lads coming in, they're going to benefit from that in the long run, having that match day experience, travelling with the squad. And it's good to see the crowds back at the games as well. Hopefully that's something that we may see more of in the future. But now, listen, it's not ideal, but I'm sure he'll be given the time. And I'm sure Stephen, there are excuses there to be made, but I'm sure he won't make excuses. He'll be looking at ways he could have helped the result be a little bit more positive. But maybe fatigue had something to do as well, Marie. There's a lot of lads that played a lot of minutes in the three games, and it's a lot of travelling involved when you're in international football as well, and can be tiring as well. You're not sleeping properly and you're not in your own bed and all. I know it's the same for other international teams, but again, we've used a few players there that played a lot of minutes in the game. So all in all, it's not ideal. It's not an ideal start. In fact, it's far from ideal start from Stephen Kenny, but let's not all get carried away. As Alan said, we need to give him a little bit more time. And as I said, once the real World Cup qualifying games come round, maybe that's when we can start to judge him. But I'm sure the lads are all looking like they're buying into what he's doing, and we just have to stick. We haven't got any other options at the moment. We have to stick with him, and hopefully he'll come good.
For long enough, Alan, we were coming to the end of games and we were doing post-match analysis, and we didn't even have shots on target to analyse.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Marie. As I said, it's four matches into his tenure. You look at the first two matches in the Nations League, lads were only in pre-season, they had no games under their belt. Then you come into these wave of games, and obviously the Slovakia one was the big one, but if you judge it on these last two Nations League games again, look at all the COVID things and all. So there's been a lot of factors contributing to the fact that we haven't had our best 11 on the team. So there's loads of things to kind of throw in there into the mix in terms of why we maybe haven't got a result. And in saying all that, when you take all those things into consideration, the performances still have been very good. You just look at the goal, we're looking back at it there now tonight, Marie, and it's disappointing as well, because again, even if you go home nil all with a bit of a makeshift team, people would probably take that, but it just looks
really
bad again in defeat.
Isn't Alan, the goal, like it's come from a mistake from ourselves, and that's something that'll probably annoy Stephen Kenny more, because we weren't under any pressure. Randolph's obviously hit a pass out and has got Correll, and they've scored really against the run of play. And to be fair, actually after they scored, they had a few minutes when we went a little bit ragged for 5 minutes. They could have scored another couple, but we rallied again and got ourselves together and created more chances. But I will say though, like, you have to say Finland as well, they're a team that played some nice football too at times, and I would look at their squad of players, and I would like to think that if you judged our squad man for man against their squad, I'd like to think we've got better players overall than them. And listen, they played some good stuff, so I'm thinking even in time, if we continue to play like this, hopefully we can start being as clinical, because you would have to say Finland probably do look a little bit more clinical than us. If you judge the two games, they've scored two goals and we haven't been able to, so we need to get that balance right. And I'm sure Stephen knows exactly where he wants to kind of fix that, and as I said, all he needs is one of them chances to go in, and I really do think we'll score a lot of goals in one of these games, hopefully.
Yeah, Stephen, hopefully we're getting there. Maybe not the result we wanted, but certainly the performances. Thanks so much, Stephen and Alan and John Kenny, who brought us the game. We're back tomorrow night with Tony O'Gorman, Tom Hayes and Jeff Shepherd, but Tara Stewart is up.
Cheers,
next.
John. Take it easy. 2FM.
Game on 2FM with Green Fern, a nourishing addition to any sandwich, salad, stir fry or snack. Natural protein your way. 2